Today's Mishnah in Mesechet Yadayim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Perek Daled, Mishnah Aleph. And so, we had sort of come to a transition yesterday, right at the end of Perek Gimel, where we discussed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And we spoke about Koheles and Shir HaShirim and the meeting of the Sanhedrin on that day, which was Oto Hayom, that special day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became Nasin. So, since we brought up the dinim of Koheles and Shir HaShirim that were discussed on that day that had to do with Tumas Yadayim, it turns out that we mentioned some of the other many issues that were brought up for the first time, because when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the new Nasi, he changed the rules and he allowed everybody to come in, which there's arguments for in both directions, and in which you could have people that were no longer tocho kevoro and were just show-offs, and they were not necessarily learning Torah the way it was meant to be learned, but there was an awful lot of new kind of material that came in, and therefore there were a lot of new halachas. So we're going to go through some of those new halachas, and we'll start with dinim of tuma, at least, that should fit in general, into Mesechus Yadayim. All right, so remember, we have a concept of, in a sense, the ultimate tuma, which is, again, in the sense of transmission, that would be Tumas Midras, right? So you have Zov, Zova, Anida. They are going to actually be able to use the princess and the P idea, and that's called Midras, if it's something that is meant to be Doris on it. And if something is not normally meant for Midras, then they do not become Tumtome Midras if that sitting, that's the classic case which is called Amod Venase Malachtenu, if you're taking somebody's bucket, turning it upside down, and sitting on the bucket, the guy's going to come over and say, well, get off my bucket so I can start washing the floors, please, or drawing water. So that's called something whose primary aveda, melachtenu, is for something else. So that would be true. Even in an interesting case, let's say that you have something which is royal midras. So this often happens at the foot of a bed, you put a chest, and in that chest, you put your linens. And now it's a nice thing to sit on because it's part of your bedroom. The thing is that if somebody wants to use that chest in order to get his linens in or out, he's going to have to kick you off of his chest. And he's going to say, will you please get off of this? I need to put away the bedding. So therefore, it's also not going to be Mekabel Midras, even though it's certainly Royal Midras. So that means that the idea of Amod Venase Malachtenu is not the definition of, well, this is not Royal Midras. It is Royal Midras, except for the fact that its primary use is for something else. So that's an important addition in an understanding of Amod Venase Malachtenu. So now, there are things that actually are possibly usable as a midras and possibly not. So Bo Bayom, on the same day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was made the Nasi, they also made a minyan in the Sanhedrin and they gave out a psak based on the rov, and an arevata raglayim, which is from the size of Shnei Lugin all the way up until Tisha Kabin. So this is basically a bath that you use for your feet. It's an arevata raglayim. And they would, of course, not having access to bathtubs, this would be very popular, where you wash your hands and your feet, so you have this special tub for your feet. So this is an arevata raglayim. Now, how big can it be? So if it holds 2 lugin and up, all the way to 9 kavim. So a lug is 4 kavim. So that would mean that if you've got 9 lugin, so if you have the nine kavim, so then you would have this different size. If a lug is 4 kav, and you can go up to the 9 kavs, and it got a crack in it. And now it doesn't hold water. Another question is, where was that crack? If there's not enough water for you to put your feet in, so then it's no longer usable as a footpath, obvious. So if that case, it can still be mitame midras. Usually, you cannot be mitame midras in an arevat haraglayim, because if somebody wants to wash his feet, he's going to say, please get out of this bucket and let me use it. But over here, the main purpose of it now becomes to use actually as something you'll turn over and you're sitting on as a stool, in which case it now becomes royal midras. But this is all, if it's too small to even have of shnei lugin, you can't turn it over to use as a seat because you can't sit on it. It's too small. So even if it breaks, it is not going to be mekabel midras. If it's bigger than tisha kavin, then it's worth fixing and not utilizing as a backwards stool. Sherevi Akiva Omer. Why the cloud did they bring this to Beis Din? What's there to discuss? Either it is or it isn't. I mean, what were they arguing about? So Rabbi Akiva, he was the one who said that Arivat HaRaglayim Kishma. The bottom line is that if you call something an Arivat HaRaglayim, it doesn't matter if right now it's cracked and you turn it upside down and you're using it as something to stand on or something to sit on. You still call it an Arivat HaRaglayim, don't you? So why do you think you still call it an Arevat HaRaglayim? If you change your mind, okay, and you said, this is now the stepladder in my kitchen. So obviously, at that point, it becomes right to be a stepladder. But if you're still calling it a Arevat HaRaglayim, it remains an Arevat HaRaglayim. It's not going to change its fundamental purpose, so go fix it. But it doesn't become a seat, according to Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, they had to bring it to Beis Din. And everybody, and I shouldn't say everybody, but the Rov ruled against Rabbi Akiva. And they said that actually it goes according to its shame. Okay.
Even though it's not what it's all cracked up to be.
Great. Okay, Rabbosai. Besorot Tovot. Ready for Nisim v'Niflaot. Kayom Imahim Bazman Hazeh. Go to heaven. Surah Tawbah.